It's the Growler with BD and Jay. Here to analyze for you today. From Growler Bed to Jay's Got Stats. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Growler Podcast.
All right, welcome in to the walkout. Paul Aynor Jr., The Athletic, Jay Morrison, Pro Football Network. Round one has happened, Jay. It came, it went. Six quarterbacks went. Zach Taylor sat right here at this podium where we're recording right now and talked about the joy he felt in his heart watching six quarterbacks go in the top 12 of this draft, meaning there was a lot for the Bengals to choose from when they went off at 18 and took Amarius Mims out of Georgia. We have a lot to get to. We're going to get into that. We are going to get into what's on the board for a big day two tomorrow. Want to start, though, by thanking our great friends at BetMGM. BetMGM Sportsbook and Nation Kitchen and Bar at the Banks will be the site of our live show on Tuesday night. Myself, Jay, Mark Shalafo will all be down there breaking down the picks of what happened as long. And they'll also be there with Bengals Director of College Scouting Mike Potts, who's going to be down there in Nation talking to us about all the picks that have gone off, including tonight's pick of Amarius Mims. So make sure you come down and check that out. It's going to be an absolute blast. And maybe you got the winning bet. Maybe you said they will take Mims, and now you are in the raffle for $50 that can be placed on, say, the Bengals to win the Super Bowl. You think it might happen. Jay, let's start with Mims before we get into the path to him and what comes next. Gut reaction on a pick of somebody we spent a lot of time talking about over the last few months and how he fits considering what else was available.
Yeah, so coming into the draft, a lot of the times I kept saying 18 is not the spot to take a project. Even though that we knew this draft was going to be more about building for the future than this year, it felt like that was not a reach, but a risk. But it's one thing if you're taking a guy like Mims, eight career starts ahead of some of these other tackles, but four went off the board first. So he's, I don't want to say he was the last of the good ones, but of that core, that big group of five, he was the last one. It always felt like they were going to go offensive tackle here. I don't know. It's a risk. It's not a crazy gamble. You look at his measurables, You look at his just freakish athleticism, and you think a team with mentors like Orlando Brown and Trent Brown and the coaching staff can help get the best out of the guy. But it's going to be one of those TBAs. If you're putting grades on these picks, I think it's got to be incomplete right now because you just don't know what that fit's going to look like.
Here's the interesting thing about Mims, who, you know, I was kind of writing my column that's up in The Athletic now about this risk and about, you know, Zach Taylor and Dan Pitcher kind of sat in this spot up here at the press conference and almost couldn't contain their laughter when discussing the measurables. Like it's comical. And if you've seen the picture from the combine, right, of him with the reporters, or you've seen his high school video of there he is with these kids, and like that, no one is debating any of that. He'll have all the wingspan, and James and I joked around about that the other day on the Mega Mock, and he has everything that you want, except he has eight games, and he has injury history, and he has to, you know, grow as a player. He's never played even his whole career what amounts to half of an NFL season.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot that goes into that. The possibilities are clearly endless here. Like, this is the Nate Tice said it's the ultimate home run swing when we had him on our trend show. It's what he is. That's why I find this interesting to me, because how many of you Bengals fans have said draft an athlete and try to hit a homer? They never hit home runs, right? Yeah. The only one way to hit a home run, that's to take a home run swing. And you're not going to get a home run at 18. You're going to have to take a home run swing at 18. And they felt lucky because of the way the board fell and the way this draft fell. it gave them a real home run swing for an all-pro tackle who could end up being the best player in this draft. That's the other thing Nate said, was he has more upside than any player in this draft. That's Caleb Williams. That's Marvin Harrison Jr. More upside than any of them, because you see how fluid he looks as a pass protector. You see the size. You see the measurables. You see what can be. But you just don't know. And that's why I'm surprised, because that's not normally their way.
No.
Normally they're high floor. They went with the high ceiling, and you've got bust potential because of the incomplete nature of his college resume. It's an interesting turn of events for me from a team acting. It's a little bit of an out of character pick in some ways, I think, for them.
Yeah, out of character for that, the home run swing, and it's more of a need base than best player available. I think there were other players they probably could have gotten there. But what's interesting, what I thought, like, I think it was Dan Pitcher that said it, because we focus on the 8 games that he played. And you talk about, you know, all you guys out there that watch film and break it down and the limited amount of tape. Well, the Bengals spent a lot of time in Athens, Georgia, at watching practice and watching what was going on behind the scenes. So they were comfortable with what they saw there in addition to film. And they met him at the combine. They had him here on a top 30 visit. They were comfortable with the intangible parts. We talk about the measurables, but, you know, what they believe he has inside of him, the heart, the willingness to try to be great. I mean, they don't take these things lightly, and they've leaned so hard into character and all that. So you almost have to trust them that they're okay with what they saw from that regard. But it's always going to be a risk. And, you know, who knows what 2 years down the road? I mean, maybe this year, maybe Trent Brown can't finish the season and we have to see Amarius. He did correct us on that. That is how he says the name. It's Amarius Mims, not Amarius. But we'll see. What it could be, a Pro Bowl tackle for years to come. Or it could be, I don't even want to mention the name, but there have been some tackles that this team that haven't worked out. And that is certainly in play. Nobody wants to hear it right now. Any first round pick is a risk. He comes with a little bit more.
He comes with more on the high and the bottom.
Right.
You know, than they've really ever taken there. I mean, you look at what Jonah Williams, so Jackson Carmen, you're talking about, they haven't spent a ton of capital in the first and second round since Zach Taylor has been here on offensive linemen. And they haven't looked like this. They haven't had this type of potential necessarily. But betting on traits only gets you so far. You've got to have more. And we'll see, you know, they're going to hope that they're proven right. And they're going to hope that Nick Saban was proven wrong. You know, you have Nick Saban on the ABC broadcast pointing out, look, I don't know. He hasn't played a ton. He's had a bunch of injuries. He took himself out of the SEC championship game, basically like questioning his willingness to kind of play and play through injury and stuff like that. And that's not nobody. This isn't Joe Schmo with a live blog. Okay. This is Nick Saban. Yeah. All right. Who was there, who's in this stuff, seeing this and saying this about Amarius Mims. Again, it's one person's opinion. And that's just where the doubt comes from and why he's there at 18. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go that way. But that's the type of stuff that you have to project, is that won't be – that's not who it is. That's not what it'll be when he gets into the NFL and starts playing. And maybe he won't have the injury issues that you know he had there, and he'll mature as any young kid does. You are betting on all of that stuff. I do say, Jay, I do think situationally, if you're Amarius Mims, I don't know where else you thought was a better place for you to go. He doesn't have to play right away.
Right.
That's so massive. When you have the inexperience, give him the preseason. Give him a ton of NFL practice time and reps and sitting back and watching Trent Brown, Orlando Brown use their long reach and giant bodies to show you what it looks like in the NFL and learn from them. And eventually you'll probably have to play because Trent Brown has so much injury history and you never know in the league. And so, but he doesn't have to do it right away. That pressure doesn't exist to come in and you're worried about what is a guy who's only played 8 games of college football going to do on opening day against TJ Watt, right? And to protect Joe Burrow in his first game back off the wrist injury. Like, you don't want that. So to not have to do that and to come into a place where the other tackles somehow look like you, which is never really happens, even though he looks different than them, even at that size, is a perfect spot for him. And I get why the Bengals are like, this is perfect for us. They saw what they saw. They believed in him as a person when they met him. They believe they have a great spot for him specifically. I buy all of that. And I think it's a risk that they clearly obviously view as worth taking. But make no mistake, risk is part of this. Yeah. Risk is absolutely part of this pick. This wasn't, let's just say, the other side of it, Jay, Troy Fatanyu, Washington, much more of a high floor pick. He can play multiple positions. You've kind of seen it a little bit. Yeah, there's projection with any of these guys, but you know, you figure you can find a spot for him where he'll fit well. He's a crazy athlete, like, and probably make it work. That was part of what people liked about him. But with Mims, it's not, it's a different type of player. And don't worry, Bengals fans, you'll get to see whether the Fatanyu thing works out, because he'll just be playing for the Steelers for the next few years. So it's interesting. But that was the other option, and they went with the riskier one, and we'll see how it plays out.
One of the things that I thought was interesting is Zach. So you hear all the time that we thought he was the right fit for us, and Zach flipped that. He said, we think we're the right fit for him.
Yeah.
And it does, because it's not just Orlando and Trent Brown being 6'8" and kind, you know, a little bit, not quite clones, but it's not a situation where you have a long-term starter saying, oh, you just drafted a first-round pick to come take my job. Trent Brown knows what's up. They signed him to a one-year contract. He's here for 1 year, and Orlando Brown's playing left tackle. He doesn't have to feel threatened at all. So those guys have been in the league. They've won Super Bowls. They're going to take him under the wing. They're going to teach him. They're going to try to bring him along. So I think from that aspect of it, it is a really, really good fit. But you just – the lingering doubt out there is always going to be there until he buries it, if he buries it.
Yeah. And if he does, it could end up looking like the smartest pick in the entire first round. It has that possibility. There's no question about it. And to do that when it comes to protecting Joe Burrow is, again, worth it. I mean, you're going to have risk anywhere. And if you looked at that board at that time, and we can kind of talk that out now for a second. I mean, things went their way.
Yeah.
You had the six quarterbacks, which is insane. You had, Byron Murphy almost made it to them. When it got to Seattle on the clock, I remember all the media mock drafts that we had been doing, that whenever it got close, it was always Seattle had kind of popped their head in there as the one to take them. And you thought, were they going to go there? Were they going to reunite Troy Fatanyu with Washington's OC and O-line coach? They opted not to. They went with Murphy, and I think he would have gotten to Cincinnati if not for Seattle pulling the trigger there. You're so close to that. It just feels like there's a big difference between what that could have been and what this is. I wondered if they were going to move back. I felt like at that point you could be thinking maybe a trade with – this could be where the Eagles come up, because they were eyeing those corners and proved they didn't need to. They ended up getting what they wanted to later, or one of these other teams coming up, which was what we saw Jacksonville do. Jacksonville moved out, still ended up taking Brian Thomas Jr. later, but they moved out and added some picks when Minnesota came up. So I don't know if Minnesota was also calling the Bengals at that time, or there was any discussions. And I'm of the opinion that there was no calls made for them to move up over Seattle.
Yeah.
That was kind of the one thing you thought that could maybe happen. They could try to go in front of Seattle if there was somebody at that tier. But I think obviously they were enamored with Mims and what he could have been. And that's why that didn't happen. But the board, kind of the way it broke, what I thought was fascinating tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you talk about Murphy, what, second defensive guy picked?
Yeah.
Number 16. I mean, we'd no first 14 picks were offensive guys. There's never been more than seven straight offensive guys to start a draft. So they doubled it this year. And you're right. We all thought trading back was an option, and I think the fact that they didn't kind of shows that it was tackle or bust. Because you figure if they move back in that spot, they obviously like Mims. You assume they like Fatanyu. There was both cornerbacks still there, and that was in play, and maybe one of those receivers. So they could have gone back four or five spots and still felt good about getting someone from that group. But it just, There was something about Mims that they liked. They didn't want to take the chance because he felt like a Pittsburgh pick. If they move back,
he probably goes there.
Pittsburgh probably takes him. So They probably made the right call there. It's interesting. I mean, if he plays this year, I've got some stats here.
Let's go.
So if Mims starts one game this year, the Bengals will be the third team since 2000, which is all I could go back to search with heights of offensive linemen. They'll be the third team since 2000 to start three offensive linemen, 6'7" or taller. The last time it happened was the 2015 San Francisco 49ers. Eric Pears played 16 games. Alex Boone started 13. And a 6'8" rookie named Trent Brown started two games. That was his learning experience coming into the league. Now it flips. Now he's the mentor for Amarius Mims. And then the only other team to do it was the Buffalo Bills in 2007. Langston Walker, Brad Butler, Kirk Chambers, not household names, but it's rare. I mean, 2 6'8" tackle bookends is rare. Now you're talking about and Mims is what, 6'7" and more than a half, like 6'7" and then 0.6. So you round up, he's 6'8" as well. So it's a really, really coincidental, if you listen to Zach Taylor.
Just a total coincidence. Yeah. Total coincidence.
Never planned it that way.
No, didn't plan for it to go this way. Well, is that offensive lineman or just tackle?
This is offensive lineman.
Because you get Cordell Volson at 6'7".
True.
You could have four. I mean, their whole dang thing, I mean, at this point is just meant to go play in the low post. So, I mean, all of that plays out. 12 straight years now the Bengals have stood pat in round one. Yeah, no up, Zeitler. No down, not since Kevin Zeitler, which was really their last home run offensive line pick, I would argue. Have they done it? 12 consecutive years now, they stand pat, no moving up. You know, would a different team have tried to – would they have tried to jump in front of Seattle if they really wanted Murphy? Maybe. I don't know. It's not something that they typically do, and they have still obviously a lot of work to go going forward. So now tackle, they did what? They took what the draft gave them.
Yeah.
The draft gave them the chance at an all-pro tackle at 18. It just doesn't happen. We've said that a lot. This draft looked like that was what it was going to give them, and it did. And so now they'll start to look forward to what the draft will give them after that, because they still have a ton of spots to fill. What I'm going to give you is a chance to do something incredible, and that is sign up with BetMGM. The King of Sportsbooks are here now. There's a first-class venue that's designed to bring Cincinnati the ultimate gaming and dining experience. You'll find out on Tuesday if you come down. Our live show will be down there. We cannot wait to be down there at BetMGM, Nation Kitchen and Bar at the Banks. It's going to be epic. But keep this in mind. Sign up with BetMGM. Make a deposit and place your first wager on any game. If your bet loses, right now you'll get your original stake paid back. Bonus bets up to $1,500 in bonus bets. Here's how it works. Download BetMGM Sportsbook app on iOS or Android. Visit BetMGM.com. Sign up and a deposit of at least $10 in your BetMGM Sportsbook account. Place that first wager, and you'll receive up to $1,500 back on bonus bets if that bet loses. So you can step onto the gridiron and take a chance with the first bet offer from the King of Sportsbooks. 21 and up, present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements, rewards, non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. All right, let's talk bets. Jay, if you were trying to get the $1,500 in bonus bets and you had to put a bet down on one player the Bengals will take on Friday, 49, 80, 87, trades and moves, lots of potential for a busy, busy Friday for the Bengals. Who would you put it on?
Man, that's tough. One player. I really like the Roman Wilson pick. Maybe Jalen Polk. I mean, it felt for a long time he was a third round option, and maybe he's a guy they go for in round two. It does feel like receiver and more of a sure thing there. It feels, when you take a corner outside of the first round, it kind of feels like a Mims type of pick where, he could have great upside, but there's always that risk because the later you get, they don't tend to pan out the way you to be elite. So maybe a defensive, if Johnny Newton's still there at 49, I think he's in play.
Oh, wow.
I don't think he will be, though.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they would reach for another defensive tackle in the second round. I think it's going to be a receiver. And I'll go Roman Wilson. I love that.
My guy.
That fit.
Yeah. You know, there's a bunch of names at the top right now, but it's a long way to, for any of them to get there. I mean, Ladd McConkey is still there. I don't think he lasts long. AD Mitchell is still there from Texas. You mentioned Newton. I'm curious how far he falls down. And, you know, you've got a bunch of the corners. Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry are there. I think corner is always going to be in play there, but I do think precedence, defensive tackle, wide receiver is just clearly a more pressing need right now for what they need to accomplish. Chris Jenkins is a name that comes to mind for me that could be there. When you consider some of the names that made it and where Jenkins could be, he's one that sticks out to me that I would pick. So I'll go ahead and say Chris Jenkins, because I think defensive tackle is just the top. And even though I have been about wide receiver, I would throw Jalen McMillan in there, because if they do end up waiting to the third round, I think he's a fit. He's kind of a very much a Boyd one for one that we've talked about here. So that's in play. There's a lot on the board still. The question is, of some of these big names, will any of them start to sneak back in the Bengals' direction? Will the Bengals move back and add at 49, which a move that we've seen them do a lot? I don't know if they will. I think one thing that'll be interesting to watch is not just the idea of adding another pick on day two or whatever. It's potentially trying to package something later in this draft, some day three picks, for them to maybe target day two, move up, move 80 up to 65, or move one of those 97 up to 81, whatever it is, like some way of trying to find these positions they target, those two in particular, and make sure they're getting the guys that they like the most there. It's going to be a critical day, and we've said that since the beginning, Jay, is that I thought this was going to be the Friday is really going to be the day that we look at as to what decides success or failure in this really critical draft weekend.
Could they follow Dane's mock and go Cooper Beebe and go trench, offensive line, another guy that you're not counting on this year? And he's another one. And then the Cooper DeJean one. I mean, do they need another? Is he a safety? Is he a corner type of player? I wonder, would they trade up in the second round? Is that where they would pat, you know, like a fourth and a sixth to move up some spots? If there's, because you mentioned the guys that have slid, if there's a guy they really like, they did it for Cam Taylor-Britt 2 years ago. It's not really in their DNA to trade up, but if there's a guy they really like and it's a guy that can help them this year, I wouldn't rule anything out tomorrow.
Yeah. And I think there's so much focus on, you know, filling these needs that we just talked about. And it's like, look, find a way to fill these. And that's just it. How far does Newton slide? I don't know, but he starts sliding to within 8 to 10 picks of you. I don't know how you're not in here making calls if you liked him, you know, if you really like him and think he could be somebody you could bring in there. And how great do you feel if you end up with Mims and Newton coming out of this? I mean, that's something to think about. Those are dream scenarios, but that's, you know, why you break the mold a little bit on what you do and consider moving up if that's something that you'd want to do. I still think it's more likely that they move back.
Yeah.
But a lot that they could do. Ricky Pearsall went off the board, who is one of those kind of guys that we thought could be. But yeah, Polk, McMillan. I mean, McConkey's not going to make it, but there's Roman. Certainly Roman Wilson. There's certainly guys that you could absolutely see happening at receiver, and this is the strength of the draft at receiver is on Friday, so keep an eye out on that. Cornerback is the wild card. Obviously, defensive tackle needs still sitting out there after they didn't get anybody or didn't get Murphy there in round one. We will be back with you tomorrow night.
Yeah,
actually tonight. Sadly, or maybe it will be tomorrow night, because maybe we'll be after midnight again. We're after midnight recording right now as we've filed all of our stories to Pro Football Network and The Athletic, where you can go read all about all that stuff that we got down there. But we'll be back another walkout for you, and excited about all that. And again, Tuesday, downtown, on the banks, Joe Nuxall Way in second, BetMGM. Come on down. We will be down there for our live show. Come on in the nation. Eat some corn dogs.
I'm hungry. You're making me hungry.
I know. Eat some of the delicious burgers. Hang out and hear what Mike Potts has to say about this draft. It's going to be a great experience. We're really looking forward to seeing you all down there. All right. Thanks to everybody for listening to The Walkout. We will talk to you tomorrow night. Have a good one.